creation. What we do here echoes in the chambers and the halls of heaven forever. Don't live for the world. Live for just being pure. Try to be righteous. Thank you so much, Father God. Thank you so much, Lord. Amen and amen and amen. I wanted to teach tonight on some things that I've really been thinking about. Some things that have really, really been just nagging at me. And I'm sure that they've been nagging at you too. You know, there comes a time in your life when you have to really make a decision to get on fire for Jesus. You have to make a decision to really get on fire for Jesus. Am I going to fake it? Or am I really going to get on fire? Am I really going to burn for Jesus? Am I really going to emanate this light everywhere that I go? Am I going to be kind to people? Am I going to be a good example to people? Am I going to help people? Am I going to try to bring people to Christ? Am I going to be a better father? Am I going to be a better husband? Am I going to be a better employer? Am I going to be a better friend? Church, in many ways, is like an ancient English court where the king and the queen sit up on stage and everybody has their roles, from the general of the armies to the ambassador to the countries, even down to the chef in the kitchen. Everybody is at a different pecking order. And sometimes I feel, when I walk into a church, I feel like everyone is wearing a mask. And I feel like I'm in one of those ancient ballrooms in the 16th, 1700s. And I don't really know who people are. I see them walking around, but I can't see their faces because they're hidden behind a mask. When you wash away all of the lukewarm Christians, all of the Christmas Eve Christians, all of the Easter Sunday Christians, when you wash away those that believe in Jesus, they've heard some of the word, but they don't really know if it's for them or not. When you get down to the nitty-gritty Christians, the best of the best of the best, I guarantee you that these Christians you've never heard of before, because they're serving in remote parts of the world in the basement, teaching two people the gospel every Wednesday night, taking care of children, taking care of a family, and teaching them the gospel. To radiate like Christ, to really be a good example in someone's life, to really try to be Christ-like, to really make all of these changes and really try to walk the walk, to try to be like Jesus, to try to be, even strive to be like Paul or even Timothy, requires a sacrifice that many of us are just not willing to make. And every time I get on my high horse, every time that I try to act like I'm righteous, every time that I think I'm so cool, oh wow, I got this little ministry, you know, people come, you know, I get to lead worship and I get to teach and everything, and I'm up on stage and it's like completely awesome, it's completely great. Every time, and I start thinking prideful things, it brings me back to just how sobering I am as a sinner. I mean, when you start thinking about your life, I get up in the morning. I should have spent 30 minutes to an hour with God today. I only spent 15 because I was in a hurry. I spent most of those 15 minutes asking for things instead of thanking Him for all the wonderful things that I have. I kind of sort of should have stopped at the yellow, but I went anyway. It took me 2.5 hours to pay my phone bill today because they couldn't find my account at CenturyLink, and I was angry with the woman. Then my wife needs her passport renewed, and I'm dealing with that today. And, you know, everyone's out there willing to help you for an extra exorbitant fee. So I get on the phone with this guy, and we're talking about fees. And then he says, well, there's a chance it's not going to show up before your flight. And I'm like, oh, wow. So what's that mean? Well, you need expedited service. Well, what's that? $50 more. And then after we talked about expedited service, I realized that there's a chance that it may not show up within 5 days. And we may need it 3 days. And that means super expedited. That's $100. So by the time I get off the phone, I'm spending $450. $170 of it goes to the government. The rest goes to the super expedited passport place. And I was a little angry. But instead of being, thank you so much, brother. Thank you for helping me with my passport. I really, really appreciate it. I was a little rude today. And I worried. I worried about an hour or two today about money. I worried. Even though we've got some in the bank, I still worry about the future. You know, even though we're safe for a few months, I'm still worried about the future. I'm always thinking ahead, so far ahead. And I'm always thinking. And today I was worried. Worrying is a sin. So many of us fall short. Many of us don't trust God. And that's what it boils down to. So tonight I want to teach about really, truly trusting Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And you know, I'll tell you something. Sometimes when I'm really lukewarm and I'm about this far away from taking Ray with me and just going next weekend. But for $212, we can get a round trip ticket to Kansas City. And there's a little shack on a hill out there called World Revival Church. And Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it is warrior-style worship, where hundreds of people have their hands on top of their heads praising Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the Holy Spirit drops down in that place so thick, it's like you're just floating. I feel like I'm in Logan's Run and I got red on my hand and we're just floating. When I get out of there, I am so on fire for Christ. I'm so joyful and I'm so happy. All of my problems are completely washed away. The Holy Spirit has completely cleaned me out. And I remember getting a collection call from AT&T. And I remember I paid this huge $600 cell phone bill because I got like a zillion cells on my account. My mom, my grandpa, my dad, my wife, my kid, everybody. And I remember paying this cell phone bill. And I get this, well, I'm sorry, sir, unless you make payment, you know, by midnight of $721, we're going to have to cut off your cell service. God bless you. Thank you so much. Oh, by the way, I paid this last week with a check. She's like, oh, you did? So then she's looking it up by the account number and she finds it. She goes, I'm so sorry. I was just so nice to her when I had her lock, stock, and barrel, and I felt so good. You know, and when you walk into a place and you get treated really bad, you know, like you're coming in to get a nice seat in a restaurant and you dress kind of, you know, I roll in shorts and t-shirts. So I don't really dress nice around Bellevue, you know. And I walk into these fancy restaurants and they're, you know, they give me the look over, you know. Well, hold on a minute. And they make you wait 20 minutes and then they shove you in the corner back there so none of the regular patrons can see, you know. And I'm just like, thank you, brother. God bless you. You know, I want to thank you for such an amazing seat. Thank you so much. The more you radiate the love of Jesus, when people are despitefully using you, the more God rewards you openly. He lifts you up in front of your enemies. He squashes any plans against you. And he takes care of all of your needs. And I know this, but yet today, I was worrying. I was concerned. And I wasn't spending time with God. In essence, what was going on is I wasn't trusting God. It's so hard to trust anybody in this disloyal, untrustworthy world that we live in. Everybody's on the take. There isn't a day goes by I don't get a zillion cold calls from people. It's so frustrating. All these people call you for stuff to sell that you don't really need. And I try to be nice to every single one of them. But it's so difficult to trust in an untrusting world. Trusting the Lord should be easy. But none of us are perfect. And we can't live life in fear. I want to live life being happy. I don't want to worry about the future. And the only way to do that is to trust in the Lord. In Josiah chapter 1 verse 9 it says, "This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." What an amazing scripture. Completely amazing scripture. In 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 28 is also another amazing scripture. "For you, O God, O sovereign Lord, your words are truth, and you have promised these good things to your servant." God's word is truth. God's word is 100% righteous. You can hang your hat on it. You don't ever have to worry, because God's word is truth, and it's completely righteous. Oftentimes when I'm struggling with trusting God, just like thousands of people have done before me, if you find yourself in the Psalms, Psalms is a fantastic place to go, especially when you're struggling with doubt, if you're struggling with fear. In Psalms chapter 9, verse 10, it's an amazing scripture. "Those who know your name trust in you, O Lord. Do not abandon those who search for you." God will never abandon those who seek him. I've learned that. As long as you're truly seeking God, it's almost as if you can get away with murder. It doesn't mean that if we trust in him, we'll escape loss or suffering. It means that God himself will never leave us, no matter what we face. Always remember that. Psalms chapter 13, verse 5. "But I trust in your unfailing love," David wrote. "I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me." David was always complaining that God was slow to act on his behalf. And believe me, I feel so impatient sometimes. It seems that evil and suffering go completely unchecked, and I wonder when God's going to take care of this stuff. But David is saying that he will continue to trust God no matter how long he had to wait for God's justice to be realized. No matter how long he had to endure the trial. No matter how long you have to go through rough stuff. A time of great trials. A time of life reorganization. For the past 5 years, me and my wife have been experiencing a strange trial. It seems like a rotating, revolving belt. And I felt so good this morning because I was watching a T.D. Jakes. And he was talking about, ever since his ministry started to grow, his life has changed. And he's got this never-ending conveyor belt of problems. Situations. Always. And he said, it's become our new norm. We used to wait for the trials to end. But now, we've learned how to be happy in the midst of this new norm. And that's what we need to do, is trust in the Lord. Don't trust in your job. Don't trust in money. Let's go to Psalms 20, verse 7. This is a really cool scripture.
"Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we trust in this name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. O Lord, save the king. Answer us when we call."
Amen. "Some nations boast of their chariots and horses, but we boast in the name of the Lord our God." Going back to the beginning of the universe, men have always boasted in the size of their armies and how powerful their war machine is. And all the way from the beginning of time, empires have like grown really powerful and then just completely been brought down to dust. David realized, though, that the true might of Israel wasn't in the power of the army, but in the power of their worship. And that's what's important, is the trust in God. Put your confidence in God, and he will give you the victory. So many things have come up against me and my wife. Impossible odds. No way out in the world. No way out. And God has completely pulled us out. Even when you're afraid, let's go to Psalms 56. Great scripture. Even when you're completely afraid, Psalms 56:3.
When I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me?
Amen. David always put his faith in God. Always. He always put his faith in God. Always. And that's what we need to do, is always put our faith in God. Always. Don't ever be afraid of not putting your faith in God. Be faithful. There's a very powerful proverb. Everyone knows this proverb. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Sometimes when we have important decisions to make, super important decisions, sometimes we feel like we can't trust anyone, not even God. But God knows what is best for each and every one of us in this room. I'm telling you, He is a better judge than 100,000 counselors. He's a better judge than posting it up on Google and having 50 million people respond. And you have to trust Him completely in every single choice we make. We should be careful never to belittle our God-given ability to reason. But we should not trust our own ideas. We must not be wise, you know, to ourselves, but we should always be willing to listen to and be corrected by God's word. And God's word comes from counselors in the church, friends that are godly, confirmations. When you pray about it with friends, and then the next day a couple friends call you up and say the same exact thing. When the elder of the church comes up and says, you know what? Why don't you hold off on marriage for another year? I'm not sure about this job. You know what? Why don't you let this one pass you by? Use the Bible as your guide and follow God's leading, and He will direct your path by both guiding and protecting you. I've seen it over and over and over again. When you put God first, He will completely protect you. Don't be troubled by the world. The world keeps changing and changing and changing. Every new generation is squeezed just a little bit more. And a new precedent is established. Every new generation has a new norm. Now these children we're bringing up have this sense of entitlement. I've never seen anything like it before. They have a sense of entitlement. They actually feel like they're owed something just for being born. Gone are the days of working hard. Gone are the days of a handshake. Gone are the days of honor and your word. Honesty. Remember. Integrity. In John chapter 14, verse 1, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going. And what did Thomas say? No, we don't, Lord. We have no idea where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And then Philip cries out, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen the Father, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does this work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. And then here's the kicker. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. Jesus' words show that the way to eternal life, even though we can't see it with our real eyes, your way to getting saved, your way to eternal life, is just as secure as the trust you have in Jesus. If you don't have that much trust in Father, if you don't have that much trust in Jesus, your way to eternal life may not be that secure. He's already prepared the way. The only issue that may still be unsettled is your willingness to truly believe in Him. Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And He says, I will come and get you. Jesus promised to all who believe in Him. You know, no one knows what eternity is going to be like. But we don't need to live in fear, because Jesus is preparing for us and will spend eternity with us. Thomas asked Him, you know, how can we know the way to God? Well, only through Jesus. Jesus is the way because He is both God and man. And when we unite our lives with Jesus, we are united with God. And Jesus is the only way to God. Some people say, oh, you know what? That's way too narrow. But in reality, that little narrow pathway is wide enough for the whole world to come through, if the world chooses to accept. Amen?
Amen.
Let's begin trusting in the Lord. Let's throw our concerns in front of Him. Let's not worry anymore about all the stupid stuff. God is going to take care of us. Amen?
Amen.
Dear Father God, dear Lord in heaven, thank You so much, Jesus. Thank You so much, Father God, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Father God, I pray, Lord, that all problems are just blown away, Lord. Help us get through our trials, Father God. Renew our faith, Lord. Make us strong again, Lord. Make us joyful again. Thank You, Jesus.